Hello guys, and welcome to the first podcast of our D&D action. This is the Dice Dudes podcast. I am the first Dice Dude. My name is Sean the Spud Dominey, and I am here with... He's laughing at my, like, choice of...
You are out of control.
Dice Dudes, motherfucker! Live with it! I am here with Bruce Beta King Siggers. And this is the first episode of Dice Dudes. We are playing some Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition. There are some various tabletop gaming podcasts out there, so we thought, why not? Let's fucking do one tonight! And we're not underwater. If you can hear bubbles, there's just a massive fucking turtle tank. There's a massive turtle tank. If we ever do underwater quests, this will set the scene like a boss. So I will be your DM today, the Dungeon Master. I will be running the game. It's just me and Brucey today. As we go further in and we gauge who wants to listen, we'll invite more dudes along and we'll get it going. So we are playing a Forgotten Realms campaign setting, which is the bread and butter released by Wizards of the Coast.
Not actual bread and butter, you can't eat it.
No, you could eat it, but you'd probably be really sick and full. That's a lot of information to consume. You gotta fucking take it this time. This is obviously M15 plus. This is listen at your own discretion, kids. I don't know how it is in other countries, but there you go. That's it for us. So, just setting the scene. Bruce is going to introduce his character for you, and then we'll get the game going.
I like how you're like, we'll set the scene, you can introduce the character,
yeah,
and we won't tell anybody else about anything else.
Nothing else, yeah. Bruce will tell you his character, anus. And then I'll drop some fucking knowledge on the listeners.
So I'm playing a half-elven assassin. His name is Porthos. He's half-drow. He was raised by a dwarven family.
It's the weirdest background ever, man.
All kinds of messed up. His dwarven family are successful traders within the dwarven community and among a couple of human settlements as well. As I said, he's an assassin, specializes in poisons, which are quite lethal and mostly deadly.
Yes, you know, as
Spud found out in the prologue.
We had a prologue sort of test session and I was terrified, so I've made this a lot harder. Get ready for that. Get ready to be hard.
Porthos portrays himself mostly as a traitor, although he is a trained assassin. He has not pledged allegiance to any guild at this point in time. His only allegiance is to his dwarven so-called family.
How many members are in this family of yours?
Lost
that raised you?
So many.
And from what I understand, your background is you were found in like in the upper dark.
So he has a human mother and a drow father. He was found clutched in his mother's arms in a drow outpost in the upper dark that had been recently raided by dwarves. The dwarves then employed his adopted father to salvage that fortress and have it rebuilt for the dwarves to use as an outpost.
So he's got a decent family, basically.
That's right. He comes from a wealthy background. However, he tries to make his own way where he can.
Sweet. All right. And what is it, just for a physical thing, what is he? Can you tell us details of what he looks like, you know, what sort of stuff he's wearing?
He wears studded leather, carries around, what is visible is a hand crossbow. He also carries a pair of bowlers.
And for those of you that don't know what bowlers are, it's basically...
two balls on a piece of string that he throws at people. Picks them up.
You may have seen those.
You may have seen those before. It's great.
It's terrifying. Fucking half-drow with bowlers. What the hell?
He wears a full-length cloak that is a dark grey that conceals him well on rooftops and things like that. So it's custom-made. The material was shipped in after he had an encounter with a assassin from the east somewhere. I hold Idu responsible for that.
I'll introduce Idu in a minute too. That's about
it. Yeah, he has a scar running down the left side of his face from his hairline on the top of his forehead, down over his eye, down to about
lip
his
level.
Bottom lip.
Yeah.
Clean shaven, long dark hair that he has tied back over his ears, so being able to distinguish that he's that elven descent is quite difficult.
Yep.
Unless you get up close, then you may notice the red tinge in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And his skin is darker than normal, almost like he's been out in the sun too long. So he's not quite drow dark. He's just well done.
All right. So we like to, as you can tell, we like to spend a bit of time introducing the characters because it gives it more flavour. It's not all about the roles with us, although I'm pretty sure I'm going to get fucking scroted with roles.
I don't know. I was pretty lucky last time.
By Bruce. See, he rolls like a beast last time. So, there's another character in his party, the party of two of them. His name is Idu Kar. He is about 6'5". He's basically a big, muscly black man. Okay? Idu is from the east. They met when they were both slaves on a pirate vessel where they'd both been captured. They broke free. Idu is a priest. And he carries around a massive scimitar. He wears some chainmail. And he gets amongst it. You'll be able to find more out about Idu as we go. So, there you go. There's a little introduction of the characters, and we'll get into it. So, previously, on Dice Dudes, Porthos...
There was no previously.
Previously.
This
in the prologue.
The first one. Previously, on the show we've never done before.
I put up a video explaining our last adventure.
All right.
Come on now. Come on now.
I'm going to rename this show at some point. You know.
So... Nah, Dice Dudes is wicked, man. We'll have a fisticuffs over this shit. So we're starting our adventure as Porthos and Idu. They've boarded a ship, one of probably your trading ships of the family now, and they've left from Arm, which is your home city, and you've travelled all the way to Neverwinter.
I don't know why I did that.
Neverwinter over, the last 150, 200 years... suffered a bit of a calamity. First, there was a huge event in basically the magic of the world. The goddess of magic was killed, and there was a fluctuation of magic in the world, and some magic didn't work, and other magics went wild, and all that sort of thing. That was the first problem. That affected all spellcasters all over Toril, which is the entire world of the Forgotten Realms. Everyone started to finally recover. But then a volcano in the city of Neverwinter decided to erupt.
Why would I go there? There's a volcano erupting.
This was a while ago. It erupted and it split the earth in the middle of the city. And now there's a thing called the Chasm. And the Chasm basically is a horrible, horrible part of the city where all sorts of nasty creatures come in and out of it. And there's a particular disease sweeping the world called the Spell Plague. And the spell plague is basically...
It's a plague of spells.
It's a plague of crazy magic, which turns people insane and imbues them with certain attributes and powers.
Lucky I'm not a fucking mage.
It is lucky. It's lucky for me you're not a fucking mage. So that's one of the key things. And this affected Neverwinter adversely. And not much trade has entered the city, but there is a new Lord of Neverwinter... who is trying to rebuild the city to its former glory. It used to be called the Jewel of the North. And he wants to rebuild it to that, to the former glory. So he's getting traders in. And this is where you and Idu come in. He's opening the trade routes and he wants new trade coming in out. So this is a golden opportunity for you to get in there and see you're looking troubled by being in Neverwinter.
Well, I don't want to be here. I'm going to get the first boat back.
It sinks.
What are you going to do then?
It sinks. I don't know.
Fucking swim.
Actually, yeah. It's not a good place to be. But anyway.
I'm going to take the first boat back. It sinks. Podcast over.
Podcast over. It's actually quite secure. The Lord Neverwinter, or Nevermember, his actual name is, has got an entire army of mercenaries which act like city guards and it's becoming more civilized again. There's a few problems in the city, which you'll find out about when you go.
Might not. First so, map, remember?
I'll give you this map, which we'll share.
This helps nobody listening, by the way, but it helps me greatly.
I am handing Bruce a map of Neverwinter. In colour, yeah, motherfucker.
I was going to say, Spud will also point out it is in colour. I don't know what relevance that has, but...
because, you know, I'm trying to do this right.
There you go.
I'm trying to do this right.
I'm trying to do it right.
Yes. All right, so you're...
don't want your pirate ship to sink again.
Oh, look, let's not go there. So the ship pulls into dock, and you pull into one of the ports. You will pull into... the left side there, and yeah, I'll let you read that out. Tourmaline Traders. At the top.
What am I reading out? It's a fucking map.
You're pulling in there.
I'm pulling into Moonstone Mask.
Oh, you're going to that inn, are you? You can pull in either side.
I'll
let you
go
decide.
There. That's on a fucking cliff.
Okay, as you approach the land...
Let's go to the Driftwood Tavern.
The moon... As you approach on the boat... You see a like a land suspended by magic with a tavern on it. Basically, it's separate to Neverwinter itself. It's attached by a bridge, but it's a magically floating island with a tavern on it called the Moonstone Mask. You can see that as you...
Well, can't very well pull my boat up to that, can I?
Well, they have ladders that go down if you want to pull up to there and you want to pint that badly.
I could go to the Driftwood Tavern.
You could go to that.
Nah, I'll go... We'll make our way straight to the Tourmaline Trade House.
Okay. You, ship pulls up to dock and there's various merchants and sailors and... It's quite a bustling area from last you were here. Last time you were here, it was basically what I described before, a fucking mess.
Fucking hot mess.
But it appears this new lord, Lord Nevermember, he's starting to get the city... back to its former glory. So there's merchants and there's sailors and everything's happening. You land and what would you like to do from there?
We'll make our way to the trade house, I suppose. That's okay. Why we're here.
No worries. All right. You head to the Tourmaline Trade House, which is one of the bigger trading companies that Lord Nevermember's brought in from the get-go. There's various... You can't really see, like, there's anyone in charge. There's plenty of people fastening and securing ropes and various things. You can stop someone and ask if you want.
No, that's fine. I guess...
The Tourmaline, they're a trading thing, so they're not in charge of the trade. They're just one of the bigger trading houses. And that's like, they trade and it's a market and that's where their ships come in too. So there's people bustling around. You know, there's merchants saying, "Fresh fish! Get your fresh fish here!"
I guess we'll make our way to the Halls of Justice. I assume that's where we purchase a warehouse.
Where you purchase a... Oh, you just want to purchase a warehouse. You're not fucking around, are you?
This is no amateur hour.
Okay. You head towards the Halls of Justice.
We have a trade route set up in the worst place in the world.
Okay.
This is only Neverwinter.
As you approach the Hall of Justice, you distinguish that there's a... This is like a converted. It's converted from an old temple. You can see markings on the side of the temple, this beautiful polished stonework. This previously was a temple of Tyr, the god Tyr, and it's been converted.
How does Tyr feel about that?
I don't know. He hasn't voiced an opinion either way, I don't think. Okay, so this is this part of the city... You've been aware, you know, from the talk on the ship, is the main focus. This area, the Protector's Enclave with the Hall of Justice, is the main focus of getting this up and running first as the part of the city. So the Hall of Justice is very busy. There's traders, there's builders, there's carpenters, there's people working timelessly to get it more ship shape. It looks like there's a foreman there. He notices you and this 6'5" black man just rock up. And he looks at you and he goes, "Can I help you?
Probably
this
not.
Is a busy place. What are you doing here?
Shouldn't you be forming some kind of building?"
"Yes, it's also my job to stop random people walking in."
"Well, you failed horribly because I'm already in here. I need a warehouse. Where can I find one?"
"A warehouse?"
I need to purchase a warehouse to establish a trade house.
Oh! Go over there and see that man. Go.
Excellent.
He points you towards an old-looking geezer dude who's sitting, like, on a pedestal thing with little monocle-y glasses on, and he's hunched over a book, and he's writing in it with a quill.
I'll wander over.
Okay. Inu wanders over, and he goes, "Well, my friend, travelling with you on the ocean makes you a very cranky man."
Yes.
That was a good talk. You walk over to this old man, he goes, without looking up, he just goes, "Yes, can I help you?"
Potentially, what are you? Please, old.
Your dog's going apeshit.
Dog's going apeshit, somebody.
Before you can even say anything, he's still looking down at his book that he's running. He goes, "How can I help you?"
"I wish to pertain some kind of storage warehouse building to establish a trade house."
What size?
"Here's my letter of credit."
He takes it from you with his two fingers, like it's filthy for some reason. "What size were you looking for, sir?"
"What have you got?"
"What do you want?"
"Well, that depends on what you've
we're
got.
We're rebuilding New Neverwinter, sir. We've got all sizes."
"Excellent.
No one wants to be here." "I shouldn't say that, really, but it's true."
I like you.
Ido is just looking at him like, "What the fuck?" Shaking his head.
Let's go with something medium to start with.
"Very well.
With a yard.
I'll have someone come to show you, and you can go have a look down on the wharf for yourself."
"Excellent. What would the price of this land be?"
"It depends on the building."
"Well,
I'll have someone go down with you, and you can have a look and discuss prices there."
"Deal.
Thank you.
Where is this minion?"
"I'll summon him now."
"Excellent."
He picks up a bell, this little bell, and he rings it. And
By the way, you've made a spelling mistake.
Looks at the book. That doesn't usually happen. What are you, fucking grammar Nazi in the fucking... Anyway.
"Too many zeros on there."
"There's too many zeros. There's not enough zeros, motherfucker."
"You need to put more of those zeros after my name."
He turns into Wesley Snipes and bashes you. So, he summons, like a middle-aged man. He's dressed in commoner clothes, tunic and pants. And he says, "How can I help you today, sir?"
"Again? Talk to the old man."
"He wants you to show him to the warehouses because he wants to purchase one." The younger guy looks at the old man and just goes, "Yeah, all right." And he says, "Come with me, follow me."
"Excellent.
Gentlemen." And you, I knock your map over. You wander back from the Hall of Justice towards the Tamerlane Trade House, and on the wharf there are various warehouses of shapes and sizes. You find one that sort of suits your need. You're looking for something that you can store. You know, how many foot radius are you sort of talking here?
I don't know.
I'm eating almonds, by the way, guys, because I need sustenance. That's what that chewing
probably,
is.
Probably something fairly large that we can store the cargo from at least a couple of vessels in.
No worries. He shows you around.
A bit of a yard in case we decide to trade animals.
Bit of a yard. No worries. He pretty soon you notice that there's quite a lot here, so you have your choice. And the prices aren't that high because Neverwinter's rebuilding. So, and not everyone's got in as early as you to set up trade. So you can basically get, it depends if you want like a solid floor or you just want dirt with like building around it.
We can start with dirt. We can fix the rest later.
Okay. He basically shows you a building, and it's probably, for where you want it and the taxes included, it's probably about 800 gold.
Yeah.
And you'll own it.
Done.
All right. He says if you just go back to the Hall of Justice and give them this ticket, and he hands you this little land deed thing, and it needs to be signed by the old geezer, which he loved dealing with. And you go back.
All right, we'll wander back.
All right, he says, thanks.
You're welcome.
No worries. As you've been bargaining with him, you look at Idu, and Idu's standing on the wharf looking at the water.
Go on then.
And looking at the guys with the fishing poles.
Go on then. He's, you stay here, I'll be back.
I really do love the fishing.
I'm aware of this.
I will. I think I will stay here. And he sits down on the wharf right next to a fisherman and they start to have a conversation. You know, you just shake your head as you walk away. Idu loves fishing, guys. There you go.
He's obsessed.
He's obsessed.
I'll head back to the Hall of Justice.
Okay. On your way there, you can see the... it's about midday now. It's still really, really busy. It appears that the citizens and the workers, everyone, they're just working... Probably Lord Nevermember is pushing the point. They're working around the clock in shifts. You can't even imagine how much coin would be being spent at the moment to sort of get everything up to scratch. You return back to the Hall of Justice. He's there waiting. He goes, "How did you find a property that you liked, sir?" "Yes. The price was 800 gold, I thank you."
But, if I can use some diplomacy and bring it down to...
All right, then.
750.
What are you going to say to him?
I believe the price was 750, my good man.
It says on here 800.
That's wrong. Look, your book is wrong. How can I believe what you've written on this paper?
I didn't write this. It was the young, no, it was the young that man there. That
Look,
showed
the
you to...
The
roll diplomacy. In Dungeons & Dragons or any role-playing game, the better the role-played, you get a plus. And if you, like, I just do it, usually you get a minus to your roll. So, sort of diplomacy check you got there.
32.
Jesus Christ. I don't even think I can beat that. Oh, that was pretty good. But he didn't beat it. Okay. He says, or maybe it was 750.
Exactly.
Oh. You hand over a big pouch of gold, and he's like, "Thank you for your time. I've signed this off for you. Your taxes. You'll have to pay your taxes annually. Enjoy your new property, sir."
Thank you.
Gives you the deed.
Take the deed.
Congratulations, Porthos the Assassin. You now have a fucking
warehouse
in Neverwinter. Congratulations.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, but okay.
As you, as you're nearing the end of your discussion, Idu walks into the building. He walks up to you and he goes, How did you go, my friend? Do we have a warehouse?"
"We do have an establishment."
"Excellent, excellent. This is going very well. Almost as good as the jungles of Cholte. We will have trade set up everywhere." He starts getting really excited.
"Perhaps we should buy a fishing vessel, my good man."
"Oh, don't you tease me now." He says, "We must celebrate. Let us find a tavern and have a drink."
"Sounds good to me, my good man."
I from what I understand, I talked to this fisherman. He told me that this is probably the safest part of the city. We do not want to venture elsewhere unless we have to."
"It makes sense. We'll find a tavern."
"We could always try that Moonstone Mask, that floating tavern."
"We could."
"What do you think?"
"Sure, why not? Let's go."
Alright. So, you two hoof it. You hoof it back, you know, along the docks, and you have a look at your building on the way past, like, "Yeah, own that shit!" And you get to the bridge, which goes over to the floating piece of land in the sky with the Moonstone Mask on it. That is the inn and tavern. The Moonstone Mask is a splendid looking building. It appears to be pretty new, like it's just been, you know, rebuilt or furnished or something like that. The walls are very well made. Everything is very fancy. There's a mask with moonstone and gems painted all in it on a sign flapping in the light breeze from the ocean. You can hear it. You can hear rustle and bustle from the inside. You're like, "Yeah,
let's head on in."
All right. You open the door, and instantly you can hear jolly laughter and singing. And there's half elves and elves and dwarves and humans and halflings, various different races in there, chugging down ale and drinking mead and wine and. You can see, you know, a bartender or a bar lady at the bar polishing some glasses. She's a half elf. She's about mid age for half elves. Dressed finely. She's got kind of like a dress on, but it's got like a the Moonstone Mask symbol like sewn on the frilly sleeves of it. Nice bright blue color. There's waiters cruising around and wenches cruising around delivering drinks and stuff. There's a minstrel in the corner, which is, he's about 7 foot two, and it's a dragonborn, who is a, half blue dragon.
Goddamn bards.
He's playing some huge drums, like Taka style, like boom, boom, boom. And it doesn't actually sound like drum beats to you. You're like, what the fuck? When he hits one drum, it's a standard beat, but when he hits the other, it's like harp music is coming out of it. You're like, what the fuck?
Goddamn wizardry.
Idu's looking at it like, so confused. He's like, what is this?
Black magic.
Black magic. Idu goes, I say we sit near the drums. Bruce, for those of you that can't see, which is all
of you. Of course you do.
He holds his head.
Porthos holds his face and wanders towards the table. Towards where the drums are being played.
Alright. Idu says, I will get us a drink, my friend.
Excellent.
What do you fancy today? Mead, very good. And he walks off. He walks over to the bar, and he's just enormous.
I don't know why this man ever asked me what I want to
drink. He just towers over everyone. You're like, God fucking damn it. You're an enormous bastard.
I'm going to take a seat and have a look around.
Yeah. You have a seat in the corner near the dude playing the drums. It's a phenomenal sight to see, because dragonborns are always cool looking. Half dragon. And huge. They're about 7'2".
One huge bitch!
The only person in this tavern, this inn, that's bigger than Idu. And it happens to be a half dragon, so that's, that's how big. Scaly ballsack. So, that's all good. Do you want
to... I might just take a seat while I'm waiting for Idu and overlist, see if I can overhear any conversations.
All right. People are talking about. What's your passive perception?
My passive perception is 18.
18? Okay. You're very perceptive, which is good for a fucking assassin, I guess.
I'd hope to be.
You're looking around. Most of them are common folk or fishermen. There are a few wealthier looking merchants, occasional mercenary in there. There's one table which are dressed quite finely. They're kind of dressed in pretty fancy-ish shirts and that. And one of them in particular, you can see he's wearing the colours of Neverwinter, and he's got like a Neverwinter symbol embroidered on his tunic, and they're just chatting away, drinking what looks like a fancy bottle of wine.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Okay. So, Idu brings your drink over. He puts it down in front of you. He's already drinking his before he gets back to you.
Is that mine, or is that your second one?
Let's not talk about it. Okay. So, you're about... You lift it, you smell the mead, it smells beautiful. You're just about to get that first draw as it touches your lift. As it touches your lips. Your lift. Fuck. Touches your lips. And bursting through the door is an armored man. He's wearing half scale. He basically runs up to the bar with a two-handed axe and points the axe at the... this half-elven bar lady's throat and says, give me the money! Looks like this place is being robbed. Everything goes quiet. The dragonborn stops drumming and there's a... there's a gasp of... everyone's fallen dead silent. This is like a ye olde stick-up.
Ye olde stick-up.
Yes. He's a, he's a human, half-scale, big fucking two-handed axe.
Stand up on the table and go, you, sir, are completely out of line.
Are you actually going to do that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. He continues to hold the axe and turns to you and goes, sit down! I'm telling you to sit down now! I want the money and no one will get hurt! He's standing on the table.
How far away is he?
He's probably about 15 feet away. Bruce is staring at me intently now, guys. Like,
you're going to look at him and go, well, unless you can jump 15 feet, I'm going to stand here. And you're going to turn around and leave.
He says, sit down or I'll cut her throat. And pushes the axe up closer to the owner's throat. Inu looks at you with sketchy eyes. And puts his hand on the hilt of his fucking great scimitar.
Initiative.
Alright, let's do this. Oh yeah, I've got to roll for Idu too, don't I? Fucking fear games! Idu's glorious not initiative.
This does not work well for me.
What was yours?
Mine was 27.
Okay. Yep, you go first.
I'm going to draw my hand crossbow.
Okay. Which is a free action for you, isn't it?
Free action for me.
Yep, okay. Because of your... What's that? That's a feat, isn't it?
It's an assassin's feat.
Yep. Fuck it.
And then I am going to, as my minor, poison my dart.
Okay, you're going to draw and dip it in some poison as a minor? Yep, that's fine.
And then I'm going to shoot at him.
Okay, what power will you be using? And give us some flavor. Give us some flavor text. So this has all happened within about 15, 20 seconds, adding in time it takes to speak. Everyone's pretty shocked, but it takes a lot to shock you with your reflexes and your bullshit. The patrons are gasping. Inu's standing there tense like he's about to unleash the fury of the gods. You're standing on a fucking table, pointing a poison-dipped crossbow.
I'll use a precision dart.
A precision dart!
And the poison that I'm using is...
Or. Don't. Or. Sounds like it's going to be awful. But I like the sound of this. Nope! Jesus Christ, you must have a lot of poison to choose from. This scares the shit out of me. Come on!
He's on his own, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, as far as you can tell.
I'll use the ID Moss Powder.
Okay. Moss Powder.
Yep. That will be a 29 versus Reflex.
That is a hit.
He takes 11 damage from the bolt.
Mm-hmm. Does he have to... Is it a poison automatic, or does he have a chance to save against it?
And, it's automatic.
Fuck. Alright.
Well, and then from the poison, he takes an additional 19 psychic damage.
Jesus Christ. So how
sorry,
much was it?
Sorry, 19 poison damage, yep. And an ongoing 5 psychic damage.
Okay, unless he saves.
Save ends,
okay. Yeah.
And each failed saving throw, he makes a basic attack as a free action against his nearest ally.
Okay, so if you two are closer.
No. Against his nearest ally.
Oh, if there was anyone else
working with him, he will then go and attack them.
He'll swing at them. That's fucked. That poison's bullshit. Fuck this game. Anyway, he...
And as my move action...
Yep.
How far away is he?
He's about 15 feet. So you're at a distinct advantage at the moment if you want to maintain if you want to be distance away from him.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
He doesn't appear to have any ranged weapons. All you can see is a big fucking axe. Alright, so that's it?
Yep.
Okay, so with one fluid motion, Porthos draws a hand crossbow from his side. It clicks open. He's done this a lot. He dips the bolt in poison and lets loose a precise shot which strikes him in the chest, piercing his armor. The man lets out a as it strikes him. He doesn't seem too impressed with that. He bleeds a bit. Doesn't seem to have damaged him too much, but he bleeds a bit. It is his turn.
Take 5 psychic damage.
He takes 5 psychic. You can see his like eye twitch a bit because of the inside of his brain is being messed with. He turns toward you. He curses. He says, "Damn you! There's always someone who wants to be a hero."
I didn't say I wanted to be a hero.
Pulls a throwing axe from his side. Moves 5 squares forward and throws it in your direction. That is a 25 versus AC.
Yep.
Alright. You take 9 damage. and that's all that happens in that round. Okay. Idu. Idu looks at all the commotion that's just happened, draws his scimitar, double moves towards him into the inn, basically charges. And as he's charging, you hear him praying to his god, which is Melora. He praises in a language this time that you don't understand.
Mate, what is this guy
And now? All of a sudden, the 6'5 black man is consumed in an aura of flame. And it shoots from his body and strikes this armored fellow. And he erupts into flames. He takes some damage. But he is still alive and kicking. He's going to try to save. I forgot to save. He does save against your psychic damage. And it's your turn again. No one else in the inn is lifting a finger. I think everyone else is in a bit of shock. The blue, the dragonborn in the corner playing the drums is just... It looks like he wants to spring to action, but he also looks like he wants to see how this pans out.
Alright, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I will fire another bolt at him.
Do so.
This time we'll...
Power are you using this time?
I'll be using precision dart again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, precision dart.
Precision dart!
Precision dart. Some ungol dust.
Okay. I don't know what that is, but it sounds fucking terrible.
It's 24 versus reflex.
That's a hit. God fucking damn it.
6 damage from the bolt.
Yep.
16 poison damage.
Uh-huh.
Ongoing 5 acid damage.
Okay. He is bloodied with that attack.
And is Ido in hand to hand?
He will be next round. So you good?
As my minor, I'm going to use one of my powers, which is Knack for Success.
Uh-huh.
Half-elf racial power.
Sure.
I'm going to use that on Idu, and he gains a +2 bonus to his next attack roll.
Oh, he'll fucking take it. Tell you what. Okay, that is the end of your turn.
It's
so
the end of my turn.
So Porthos quick loads another bolt, fires it. It strikes him again in the other side of the chest, so he's basically got 2 bolts sticking out of his chest. He lets out a ugh, and you see blood course from his mouth and out of his nose and out of his eyes. He looks pretty fucked up. But it is his turn. He's going to take 5. And then he's going to move like 2 feet forward and engage Idu in hand to hand. Holy shit. He crits Idu.
Oh no, Idu!
That's what I need. Idu takes a massive hit and falls to the ground.
Jesus!
Basically, the axe lodges into Idu's shoulder blade and digs in halfway down. It's like almost it's cut well into Idu's arm. And he is bloodied in one hit.
Jesus.
So Idu, and Idu is prone. The man lets out a he has a good laugh at Idu's expense.
No worries.
Idu, it is now Idu's turn. Idu's action. He stands up. Incurring an attack of opportunity, which swings, just misses Idu's head. Idu is not having any of this. He starts to pray again. He gains a bit of a glow, and this time his eyes widen, and a bit of light erupts from them.
He gets a plus two to his attack.
Oh, he does. That's not going to matter. He seems to... His wound seems to heal up slightly, but nothing happens to this other fellow. He's going to use... Ito's going to use an action point.
Oh, action point.
And he's going to use... he's going to start glowing again. And he's going to take a huge swing with his scimitar at this armored asshole that just fucking tried to garrote him. He lodges the scimitar into the man's skull and splits it in twain, and the man goes down. He is dead.
That's what he gets!
Basically, this flurry of actions happens, this combat.
I'm going to sit down and drink my meat.
At the end of it, there's a silence, and then a slow clap, and it gets louder, and more people join in, and there's a round of applause for you two. And a hey! And people raising glasses and shit. All of a sudden, one of the guys from the table with the well-dressed goes outside, and you're not quite sure why. There's obviously maybe to summon the city guard or whatever.
Yeah.
So you just sit down?
Well, we'll quickly have a look and make sure he hasn't got anything that we might want.
Yeah. Oh, you have a look. He's got basic... He's got... was it half... It was scale armor? Or was it half plate?
Scale armor.
Scale armor, yeah. He's just got a two-handed battle axe. Not really anything else on him. I don't know. Do you want to loot him right in the front of all these people?
Not really.
You don't want to? No, that's probably a good plan. Yeah, he's got like a little coin pouch, but he couldn't have much on him. All right, no worries. So that's that, and what, you just sit down?
I'm just going to actually, I'm going to cut off his coin pouch and just put it on the bar.
You give it to the half-elf, do you?
Yep.
Wow.
I just put it on the bar.
The applause, you cut off the coin pouch, you walk over like a fucking champion.
And then sit back at my deck.
Put the coin. Oh man, how cool is this guy? Real men don't look at explosions. Jesus Christ. So you just pulled up the ultimate cool shit.
Yep.
In so you both kill this guy. You cut his... Porthos cuts his coin pouch, walks over silently to the bar, puts the coin pouch on the bar and walks back over the table, sits down and continues to drink. Idu gets up. Ugh.
Idu!
Rubs his shoulder. He sits down at the table. And you hear him meditating, and you see his wound start to heal over until it's gone. He's just got a nice chink in his scale, in his his chain armor. And you just sit there, and he goes, "Well, this was not a good start to our trip, my friend. That hurt."
I can imagine.